Hey all, welcome back to the main event. Of course, a very, very, very exciting episode here with our first episode after an actual massive win. Eggmate, I don't even know where to start on this one because this is absolutely insane. Of course, my name is Jack Wallace, joined here with Egg Footy for this episode of the main event where we took down the Demons at the MCG. Super exciting stuff. But before we get to any of that, Eggmate, how are you doing today?
Feeling good, man. Like you said, it was our point. Biggest win of the season so far, probably our biggest, one of our biggest wins in this tenure of Chris Fagan. Obviously, like the prelim last year, the elimination final against Richmond last year, the semi final against Melbourne the same year, the first final we won against Richmond in 2020. That's up there with all of those wins because it just was a very important win for us for a number of reasons. But yeah, it's just such a huge relief and such a huge, huge achievement for us.
Oh, dude, absolutely massive stuff. I went into this game. I'm not even going to lie, dude. Like, I tipped the Demons. I thought the occasion was just going to be too big for us to do it. You know, it's like the odds stacked against us, you know, with the venue. Obviously, Melbourne's looked at the time like they were in form and one of the teams to beat this season. Hell, they still could be. But we certainly made them look like they weren't. Yeah, just a super, super exciting win. We're going to break it all down in just a short moment because, man, it was just... This is a win that we needed so bad. Like, I know last week we sort of harped on a lot about, hey, it's just North Melbourne. No, man. Like, we I don't care if it was North Melbourne after that, you know. Like, we... North Melbourne may have just played us into form. Of course, I don't think I'm going to concede or, you know, define where we're truly at. I know later in the show, we are going to be having a chat about if our season is really back on track. And in my eyes, there's a little bit of a spoiler for that segment. It is to be decided when it comes to Geelong, but we will break that down a bit deeper as we get to it. But yeah, fuck, man. What an absolute game that was. Massive night. You know, loved every second of it, despite being stressed out for so much of the first half. It was a lot of fun. But of course, guys, go follow us at the main event pod on Instagram and all that good stuff. Of course, I'm trying to post a bit more on Instagram. You know, I'm trying to do some game day posts when I have a bit of free time during the week. I need to be consistent with that, but I'll try. And of course, always so much like just follower interaction. Like, I'm always asking for people's predictions and your thoughts on the game and all this sort of stuff like that. So there's so much more of that still to come throughout the season. So go check us a follow. Until then, let's break down this win with the Demons. So of course the Brisbane Lions, mate, absolutely put the work into the Demons. 12-10-82 to Melbourne's 8-12-60. God, I don't know where to start here, man. I really don't know where to start. It was such a just... I might just sort of follow the point you were just making then, that this was probably one of the bigger wins, or if not one of the, you know, it's a top five win for me under Chris Fagan. Of course, follows the prelim final from last year. Of course, the... fuck this. I'm so overwhelmed right now. There was also the... fuck, help me out here. You just said a few great games. Geelong in 2019 was another massive one. Port last year in the qualifying final, if you want to count that one, even though we had a couple finals wins to that point. But this truly was one of the great wins under Chris Fagan and a massive sort of statement from him. What did you make of actually like Fagan's coaching though? Because like, you know, he's back down on the sideline and he's just doing a lot of things. Like, he just completely outcoached Simon Goodwin on Thursday night. So send a message out there for the doubters of Chris Fagan, because I know a lot of people were calling for his head literally less than 2 weeks ago.
I had a weird feeling going into this game because like Melbourne were really, really good. We were kind of struggling up until the North Melbourne win. And, you know, like I just had that feeling. I think Melbourne's not as good as they think they are. Or like they can be beaten a lot easier than they think, at the very least. And so going into this game, I was like, you know what? I was quietly confident, you know, like, it just, I don't know, I just had this weird feeling, completely different to last year, round 18 versus Melbourne, the game we lost by a point. Like, I was nervous, I felt horrible, but like, I just didn't have that this week for whatever reason. Like, I just had a weird feeling, that something cool was about to happen, and it did. I think Chris Fagan talking more about the loss last year against Melbourne at the MCG. I think that loss changed Chris Fagan as a coach, I think, for the better. He's openly admitted that he botched the ending to that game, and I think that was a real eye opener for him. In terms of that, he understood Melbourne a bit better. He understood the MCG a bit better, and he put that to good use this week. Obviously, it was insane. I didn't think he had it in him. I didn't think the players had it in them. But yeah, it was just it was incredible. Like Brisbane for a long time have been a team that is capable of so much, but they just aren't doing it. But like last night is like the first time in a while where like we've actually done it, if that makes sense. Like we lived up to our potential.
Absolutely, man. Like it felt like this was a sort of a revenge game from round 18 last year. I think it was like, you know, it was almost such an identical game minus the hot start from Melbourne this time around. They never got going, even after the early goal from, I think it was Chandler, I believe it was, off the top of my head. I felt like, oh shit, here we go again. Like this isn't good. And then just the response, man, it was just such a mature game from them. And I think as well, like just going back to round 18, like, obviously, Chris Fagan learned so much from that game, you know, just the points you mentioned. But I think the players did as well. I think the players have been able to go through some really, I don't want to say traumatic, but you know what I mean? Just really high-pressure games with so many stakes. I think they've had so many of those games recently where it's just the big occasion just doesn't seem to shake them so much anymore, which is the best thing that this team needs, especially over the past few years. You know, we'd go into finals and, you know, they... 2020 or 2019, I can't remember which year it was. I know the boys are very young at this point, though, and this team was very young. And we played one of our first finals games, and just the situation was just so overwhelming for them. Whereas nowadays, I feel like we're the team that is now the overwhelming factor for a lot of other teams. And it's just a good feeling to know, especially at this point, knowing that, you know, when we eventually do play finals this year, touch wood, of course, that happens, that... we're just, I don't know, I'm not expecting results, but I'm certainly expecting I'm expecting a bare minimum of like just really, really like just being the team that's really tough to beat in that time of the year. It's a great, great turnaround for the team, I suppose, because even as recent as 2022, you know, we went to that game against Geelong knowing we'd lost, but now we are that sort of Geelong level team that of 2022. Not to say we're going to, you know, barrel through everyone getting to that point, but just in the terms of like the scene of the finals and massive blockbuster games, I think we're that team to sort of beat in those scenarios now, especially if those games are going to be at the Gabba. Granted, Carlton and Collingwood have already done that this season, but hey, I don't count the first five games of the season, mate. So just absolutely massive stuff. And I think it was avenging what happened in round 18 last year, which was probably the most heartbreaking loss outside of the grand final of last year, you know, going down by like a point at the MCG after being up all game. So yeah, man, this is to me just a revenge game for that, and just making that right. You know, I don't feel like there's many other hoodoos above our heads now after that one. Of course, I haven't been a subscriber to the MCG hoodoo since the semi-final of 2022. I think last year sort of makes a case for the doubters of the Brisbane Lions and the MCG argument. I think last year, you know, we didn't get a win there at all. I don't think so. No, we didn't.
No.
So it's just really, really good to see us get a win at that ground, knowing the narrative against us, against a team like Melbourne, who looked to be at the time in form. Of course, this weekend we'll tell the story unless they're on a bye. Let me double check if they're on a bye. But
They are.
Yep. Okay. So the next week after that, we'll see where they're at. But yeah, man, super exciting stuff. Super, super exciting game. And how fucking good was Cam Rayner, man? Like, just straight off the gate, I just want to start with Cam Rayner. Like, that was the best game I've ever seen Cam Rayner play by a mile. Like, he's playing like a number one pick now. What did you make of Cam Rayner's performance? But before we get there, did you actually end up... you just saw the second half of the game, didn't you? Because you're at footy training.
No, we finished up early because it's a Thursday night and there's... team selection stuff we have to do for the game on the Saturday, but I was able to see pretty much most of the game. Only missed a bit driving home in the second quarter. I was watching, like, we were having a team dinner waiting for the teams to be read out, and you know, Melbourne kicks a goal, I'm like, oh, fuck. And then Brisbane kick a goal, I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. At least we're competitive, you know.
Yeah.
Better start than last year. Because, again, like, I didn't really have any expectations at all for this game, like, how it was going to go, like, what if we were going to, let alone win, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we kick another goal, and I'm like, oh, shit, okay. And then Melbourne kick another goal, and then we kick a goal, and then it's like a 10, 15-point lead at quarter time. I'm like, oh, okay, shit, okay. And then I get home, I pull into my driveway, just about to hit half time, and then I see it's 2-4 to 7-4. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. Yeah. And then third quarter, they've only kicked 3 goals and 7 points, and we're up 10 goals, 8.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. But I still never felt any confidence at all. Like, I was like,
yeah.
Excuse me. I felt like at any moment, like, I was waiting for the heartbreak to happen still. Like,
yeah.
Just especially after the Carlton game, I think that's still haunting me a bit. So, like, for example, Melbourne, halfway through the fourth quarter, kicked 2 goals in a row, and 2 quick goals in a row, mind you. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And
yeah.
Like, I just, like, I had to leave my family and just, like, sit in my room with the game on KO and just, like, be by myself, because, like, I had no idea what was about to happen. Mm. And then eventually, like, we just played the game out, and they ran out of time, and they kicked another quick 2 goals, like, at the very end. But, like, by that point, like, they had no time. So, like, I'm like, oh, shit, we actually won. Like,
yeah,
that's fucking awesome. Like,
dude, like, I was never comfortable either. But yeah, sorry, continue.
Yeah, like, it wasn't until, like, the last, like, minute where I'm like, okay, like, yeah, fuck, we won. Like,
dude, it was so, not, like,
mathematically possible.
Just based on what's happened to us in the past, even with round 18 last year, and obviously the Carlton fucking game, and the way Freo played I think it was, like, the second quarter in Perth, and it was just, as soon as Melbourne kicked those late 2 goals, I think we were up by, like, 40 points with 10 minutes left. And I was just like, no, this ain't over. Like, this is not over. And I was like, all my mates, man, like, they're all neutrals watching this game. They're like, fuck, man, like, Brizzy's got this in the bag, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, nah, it's not over to the fat lady sings. Like, and knowing this team, dude, like, we can have 8 goals kicked on us in the space of fucking 10 minutes if they really wanted to, you know? Like, this team is capable of doing that, and thankfully they didn't, man. They I would have liked to have seen a more commanding victory in terms of, you know, keep the foot on the throat all the way to the very end, but dude, they were like that for 3.5 quarters. I can't expect anything more. And a lot of people were sort of complaining, it's like, oh, play a full quarters. It's like, mate, they didn't need to. What's the point in overexerting yourself? And I say this as someone who's a big believer in, you know, just keep the pedal until the game's over. I'm a massive believer in that, but it's just in this scenario, man, like, let's not risk the injuries and overexert the boys just for the sake of some percentage. Let's just, you know, last 10 minutes, just fucking, you know, don't take it easy, but definitely, you know, don't go killing yourself over getting another couple goals, if you know what I mean. I didn't have that that sort of concern in me in terms of, like, the boys are getting all complacent and blah, blah, blah. Because I know I've seen a few comments on the internet and social media and stuff, just people just being like, oh, why didn't they just keep going to the very end? It's just, no, don't need to. But that being said, at the same time, it's just, like, such a fun win, such a great win, man. Like, the entire game, this is probably the most complete performance I've sort of seen them play, because there was not really a time at any point in the game where they just, except for those junk time goals at the end, where they just slowed down and just fucking, you know, play complacent. Because, you know, they had those situations there where it's like, we've seen this team be in these games before and be in this scenario, and they just seem to think they've got the game won at the start of the third, and it's just, no. I'm so glad they didn't do that, dude. It was such a good time, and just in that fourth quarter, just so much fun. A little bit of stress, but just so much fun, dude. Like, I had a blast, like an absolute blast watching that game. And for someone that was so nervous before it, and even feeling like nauseous as fuck during the second quarter, just out of anxiety, I was just absolutely elated to sort of see the victory and to see how the result panned out. And yeah, just awesome time, dude. And like, I was meant to be in Melbourne as well over this weekend for my granddad's 90th birthday. But obviously, those who know me well, I don't know if I've spoken about it on the show before, but I have a really, really bad fear of flying. I've been around the world, I've been to Melbourne, I'm back millions of times. You know, I've been on so many planes, but I'm just petrified of flying, and now haven't flown in 10 years. So I probably would have been at the game on Thursday night had I made the trip over for my granddad's 90th, but it was not to be this weekend. And I would have also got to enjoy the win with my family, which would have been actually awesome. But again, not to be, unfortunately. My fear of flying prevails again. I want to get straight into the main event of the week here before we actually do continue on, because yeah, this is just an absolutely awesome performance. And to be honest, it's really hard to sort of make this decision, but to me, it was just Cam Rayner jumped out as my man of the match. Who do you have this week?
I think it's a cop out answer, but I think it's without a doubt Cam Rayner. Like, it's that was the best game of his career, and like, yeah, if he can continue that form throughout the rest of the year, like we're going to be just fine, you know. Like, absolutely, that was insane.
It's the competition to be a midfielder in this team is actually becoming pretty hectic, because I think Rayner played majority of that game as a midfielder. I'll have to be corrected by someone on social media if I'm wrong, but to my knowledge and from my what's the word I'm looking for here, from my perspective, he was playing as a midfielder most of the game, just absolutely smashing the clearances. I mean, he had what, 11 clearances I believe, which is just unheard of for Cam Rayner. So it was just an absolutely amazing performance. But just on the topic of the midfielders though, like, when Will Ashcroft comes back in, I would hate to be Fagan and the boys who have got to select this team. You know, I would hate to be the team selectors for when Ashcroft comes back in, because you want to probably give this Rayner in the middle experiment a bit more time. Well, it's not even an experiment. I know they've been trying it for a few years now, but you'd want to probably give that a bit more time after that performance like that. Like, he deserves another chance at it. But then it's just like, fuck, like, midfield minutes, man, they're going to be so few and far between for anyone outside of it, particularly Dev Robertson, who's a man I feel horrible for right now. You know, he turned down a big role at the Eagles to stick with the Lions and potentially see premiership glory, and now he may not even look at any time on the field, man, which sucks for a guy like Dev. But I totally understand the situation, and it's just that's just footy, man. Like, you make these massive decisions as an athlete, you know, and right now it doesn't look like it was the right decision for Dev to make. I mean, I'm personally not complaining about having Dev as a backup, but you know, I feel a bit bad for the guy, man, because it's just times like now where it's like those midfield minutes, unless you're already in the midfield, they're becoming even more few and far between. So scary time, man. And it's a great time for, you know, our midfield. It's scary for guys like Dev and scary for opposition, but great for us. Great for us, the fans, man, because we're getting absolutely treated right now.
And on that point as well with Dev, like, it's up to him to like command midfield minutes, and with his form, like, his destiny is very much in his own hands. Like, it's not like Fagan has his favorites. I know people like to say that, but it's bullshit. Mm. Like, Fagan has he's not just going to say, well, fuck you, Dev, you're not getting picked. Like, yeah, if he's good and he can contribute to this team in an effective way, consistently week in, week out, he will get midfield minutes and he will have a crack at a premiership. It's up to him in that sense. Like, he definitely controls his own destiny.
100%. Yep.
But yeah, it's a great problem to have, like, all this discussion.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. And we still got Levi to come in, who's granted, he's probably going to be a walk-on next year. Like, hopefully. Yeah. If not, he'll probably be, you know, coming off the bench. But even then, that's a fucking great problem to have, man. But yeah, you're absolutely right, dude. Like, Dev's, he makes his own destiny, dude. Like, he made the decision. I just feel a bit bad for him, I guess, because, I mean, he doesn't know how the year's going to pan out either. No one's to blame here. I just feel a bit bad for the guy, but that's footy, dude. That is what happens in the wonderful world of footy, and that's what happens when you're an athlete. And dude, either way, he's probably going to end up at the Eagles at some stage, and he'll get his chance. So just hang in there, Dev. Be patient if you can. Just help us get a flag, mate. I'm sure you'll get a game on GF Day, maybe. There was something I was going to bring up here next. It was on the topic of the midfielders, but I just completely fucking lost it. Completely lost it. So I'm just going to swiftly move on from that and pretend that I didn't forget my point. But I'm so overwhelmed from this game. If you guys can't tell, I just don't even know where to fucking go next, because I'm excited. I've got so much shit on my mind to do with this game and just to do with where we're at the moment, because 2 weeks ago I felt like we were so fucking like, I don't know. I felt like our season was, you know, I was optimistic. But deep down inside, I was also pretty pessimistic about our season and where we were going. But I guess just on a face level, I had to sort of just remain calm and just sort of, you know, just got to remember, footy's a long season, and within, you know, less than 2 weeks, we've been able to sort of go from holy shit, the world is burning down around us, to oh, we're so back and we're just chilling now. You know, it's crazy how quick it happens. Did you envision that we would get our season potentially back on track this quickly?
I knew we were going to pick up the pace at some point. I didn't think we'd be winning this game. I figured like it would be a case of like going into Geelong 1-4, which yeah. I was kind of like mentally preparing myself for.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's better late than never. You know what I mean? Like it's we took a while to adjust after Coleman's injury, and I think the shorter preseason, coming off a really close grand final loss like that, off the back of an even harder finals campaign, I think that took its toll in hindsight.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're back to where we were towards the end of the year, which is really encouraging to see. Like it looks like we are handling the loss well, as Fagan said in his presser at the end of the game last year, which is a relief. And I don't care how long it takes. I don't care like how it takes. I just want to see us like get back to where we belong in terms of form, in terms of ladder, in terms of everything.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Like seeing us sit at 10th as we speak at the moment, I believe we're sitting 10th. It's just an unusual sight seeing us under that, across that line that goes from top 8 to bottom 10. And we said bottom 8. Jeez, it's not 2011 anymore, mate. I don't know. It's so unusual to see, but I feel like a lot of comfort in it as well. You know, it's just like, I feel like we're becoming sort of secret assassins to a degree here, because everyone just sort of wrote us off after the Collingwood. And now it's just like, well, like, okay, like write us off, pretend we're not flag contenders anymore. Like, that's cool. We'll just sort of do our thing. And we'll see you guys all back there when you're ready to sort of acknowledge our team again, sort of thing. I don't know, just the switch up that happens in this league, and I understand that it's a league that constantly changes and constantly moves, that's one of my favorite things about the AFL, but it's just the switch ups from the media and the narratives and how quick they are to sort of ditch their opinion from the week before. And fuck, I'm sure that both of us have probably done this on the show as well, but I find it so amusing, man. Like I love how much it changes and how quick it changes, and it's so interesting because it just makes me wonder, like, what is next? What's our next arc for the rest of this season? Like, are we now going to just not lose a game for the rest of the season? Are we going to go through a shit patch again in the middle of the season, or are we just from here on out just fucking going crazy? I don't know, man, and it's exciting, and I love the fact that even the media and all the experts can't even pick it, because as far as they were concerned, our season was basically done. But fuck no, dude. Like, fuck no. You get a good game in against North and you find your form back and you find your magic back, and then you go against the D's at the MCG and fucking take care of business in the most convincing way possible. Like, it was the statement win we needed, so I'm just super appreciative of it, and just absolutely fucking love this club right now, man. I always do, but right now, like, I'm just so happy with them. You know what I mean? But someone else who really impressed me this week, and not even just this week, but just in the last, like, even just this whole fucking season so far, has been Dane Zorko. He is turning back the clock every single week right now, man. Like, what are you making of Dane Zorko's performances?
He's been unbelievable. He's been one of our better players, and he's our answer to Scott Pendlebury and Steel Sidebottom, I think.
Yeah.
He's a Lions legend as far as I'm concerned, and a premiership would only like solidify it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Another person who I want to make mention of is Ryan Lester, Froggy Lester, from being almost like delisted to now being in the best 22 of one of the best teams in the comp. Like, it's an incredible story, and you really have to commend him and his determination to get back to where he was and to become an elite footballer again.
I've got a little tidbit here that I found on Reddit the other night about Ryan Lester, this is fucking awesome, man. So on Thursday night, Ryan Lester broke his 12-year losing streak at the MCG, right? So Ryan Lester last won a game at the MCG in round one of 2012 in his fourth game, where the Lions beat the Demons. Tonight, in his 185th game, he finally has had his second win, and he was 0-9 at the MCG in that time. So, fuck, dude, just
Jesus,
go figure. Like, And here's the other thing, right? Brisbane won two games there in that last, in that period from 2012 to Thursday night. Round 21 in 2014 versus Collingwood. Leicester played round 19 and 23. So he was so close to playing those games. And same thing with semi-final 2022 against the same team. Leicester played in round 22, so he just missed those games by a few weeks. So, dude, Leicester finally got back on the MCG pitch and fucking won. So, you'd love to see that for Leicester. And as you said, dude, like, the fact that he's been such a, like, he's been so important down back. And with the outs that we've had down there, you know, with Kitty Coleman, you know, Marcus Adams as well, and just the ever-so-changing rotation of defenders that it looks like they're sort of experimenting with, Ryan Leicester's been the answer. And I don't think anyone would have picked even a year ago that Ryan Leicester was the answer that we needed. He was great at the tail end of last year, and he's just bringing that form into this year. There's something going on with these old boys, man. I don't know what it is, but they're just, they're killing it. Absolutely great shout there bringing up Froggy Leicester, because he was absolutely amazing. Like, if we go through Leicester's stats real quick, man, he had, you know, 17 touches, you know, 15 kicks, two handballs, eight marks. I wish I had more of a, like, expanded stat sheet here, because I've got it on a vertical monitor. But, yeah, just absolutely destroyed it, dude. Like, he had also... where is it? I mean, 257 meters gained, if that means anything to anyone. But, yeah, just absolutely insane stuff, man. I've just give you flowers to Froggy Leicester if you see him, or if you see him in a game, just let him know you appreciate his work, because he's absolutely killing it, man. But getting into some of the things that happened during the match, though, man, Charlie Cameron is staring down the barrel of his fucking suspension. Well, he's already been suspended at this point that we're recording, but he has been done for a one-match ban for rough conduct, for a dumping tackle on Jake Lever. In my eyes, it was a great tackle. He only had one arm pinned.
Yeah.
I know the club has confirmed they're going to challenge this, but yeah, what do you make of this one, mate? Because I think this is an absolute load of shit.
Bias aside, I think it's a good chance he gets off, because there's a lot in his favor. The fact that Lever played on, I think, for the rest of the game, did he not?
Yeah, he did. There was no injury or nothing there. It was just Lever got back up and continued playing.
There was no contact at the head. There was no... He only had one arm pin, as you mentioned. Yeah, I don't think there's a hell of a lot in it. I think it was just like reactionary from the match review. And I think there's a good chance he gets off with a fine.
Yeah,
And a finger wag, like, don't do it again type shit.
Which is fair enough in my eyes, because yeah. I understand the statement the MRO are going to be trying to make with this one.
And even if he doesn't get off, like, it's only 1 week, so, like, we're not losing a whole ton of sleep. We get him back for GWS at Monica, which is critical. So, you Absolutely. Know, like, it's not a tragedy by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, no, that's it, man. And, like, I guess it's... For me, I guess I see Charlie should get off and hopefully just have a fine at the end of it all. That would sort of be the logical way of going about it. But as I sort of said just before, I do also see the statement and what they're trying to do with this, and also a lot of the other suspensions they're currently giving out. I do completely understand why they're doing it and why it's been so strict. However, let's just fucking... God, if it's like as clean as that, just oversee it. But that's just me being biased a little bit. Yeah, hopefully we should have him for Geelong, but if not, of course, I'm not going to be losing any sleep either. I think we've got a lot of serviceable forwards that should be able to get the job done. But hey, man, having Charlie Cameron out there is also always a good thing. So yeah, good luck to Charlie for that one, and we'll find that one out, I'm sure, within the next day or two, whether or not he will be good to play against Geelong come Saturday night. Just a good time. Another thing I did want to bring up, though, was the Noah Ransworth sledge on Harry Petty. Now, I know this is sort of a sensitive topic between Lions and D's fans. I know this has been a bit of a touchy rivalry. But what did you make of this? Because I know Dane Zorko wasn't very happy about it. There's a few Lions fans out there that are not happy about it. But I think we may be on the opposite side of the fence on that one. What did you make of the so-called sledge? And what do you think about what do you think about it all?
I've had a few days to sit on it, and I think even though he probably shouldn't have done it, I don't have a heck of a lot of sympathy for Petty. Like, the media's obsession with painting him as, like, this victim in all of this is ridiculous, I think, because, like, they ran this story for a week back in 2022, I remember it. They painted Zorko as the worst thing since unsliced bread, how he's this piece of shit. Dane Beam's putting shit out on Instagram about how Zorko's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
He who lives in a glass house shouldn't throw stones, but back on that topic, and then it came out that pretty much like Petty was talking just as much shit, and then like what Zorko said was reactionary, and then everybody drops it like a bad habit, and we never heard of it again up until this incident on Thursday night. I don't think Answorth sort of should have done it, but like it's Petty's own fault. Like, yeah he talks so much shit. Like you can see him talking shit in the game to Answorth prior to his like little thing that he does. So I don't have a heck of a lot of sympathy for him in that department.
Yeah, man. Like for me, it's like, look, I care a lot about men's mental health. I've lost my mum as well, so this is a topic that does hit close to home. But as someone who has lost his mum, I don't like fucking, you know, I'm not going to go like fucking talking all this shit if I know that I can't get it back. Because obviously people that know me and know my mum's passed away, like that's usually going to be the first thing that people, particularly pieces of shit that are trying to get under your skin, that's something they'll bring up. And it's just like, if you know like that affects you that bad, just avoid the scenario altogether. If it really affects you that bad, just avoid it. And I don't know, like in 2022, man, when all that shit happened with Zork, it was just like, it gets, you know, us Lions fans were sort of, half of us were defending it and the other half was sort of, you know, just fucking white knighting and being all like, oh, Zorko's a shit captain, blah, blah, blah. Captains shouldn't be doing that, blah, blah, blah. Which they do have a point to a degree, but we all know that Zorko, he stands on business, man. He always has. He's always had that dog in him. He doesn't back down from fucking anyone. You know, so of course Zorko's going to bite back. It's Dane fucking Zorko, man. And I guess it's just, at the time when everyone was saying that, I was just like, I knew at the time that Petty had fucking, you know, was dishing it but couldn't take it back. And I had so many, like, and this is back in the day where I'd actually engage in online arguments. Like, I had so many arguments about it where I was just like, fucking, like, there's no way Zorko is going to go out of his way to, you know, bring Petty down and hit him like that for no fucking reason. Like, there's got to be a reason behind it. And of course, it comes out that there's a reason behind it. And the exact same fucking situation basically happens again on Thursday night, and people have tried, like, throwing Answorth under the bus for it, and people have, of course, Demons fans have gone in droves to Answorth's page and fucking his girlfriend's page and have just started abusing both of them and just making the situation so much fucking just more pathetic and even worse just for themselves, making themselves look bad. Not that I care how they look, but I just think it's an indictment on how Demons fans look and how they sort of deal with all this sort of stuff. I mean, we all know Harry Petty fucking loves to talk shit, but he just hates getting it back. We've known this for a couple years now. Why are we acting surprised by any of this? You know, it's something that's really done my head in for a very long time when it comes to Harry Petty. I mean, fuck, Harry Petty's the only AFL player I've actually blocked on social media just because I just... His existence just infuriates me, and it's nothing to do with, like, I'm sure he's a good human being. I'm sure he's a great bloke to hang out with, and, you know, I'm sure he's a really nice guy, and he's a talented footballer. Obviously, he has to be if he's in the AFL, but I just can't take this fucking victim bullshit, man. It reminds me of fucking Freo fans, like, just victims, and Look, for me, it was very entertaining sort of seeing him do that, but as soon as I saw him make the crying gesture, I knew that there was a massive shitstorm just to follow straight after, and I knew Answorth was going to cop it from Demons fans and fucking and all this, but it's, fuck, I'm standing by Answorth in this one, dude. Like, I don't care, Petty. I really don't care. Stop being so petty. Seriously. Like, just, I understand that there's things in your life that have happened that aren't so, you know, pleasant and hit very close to home. I totally get that. But anyone who's played footy, so much worse gets said on the footy field, man. I mean, you play footy. I don't know, have you played a game this season yet?
Not yet. I've missed the first two games of the season through my own fault, because I've been in Adelaide and I've got a cousin's wedding this weekend. But yeah, hopefully this weekend's my first game.
I guarantee you, when you play this weekend, if you're playing against a really yappy opposition, you're going to have so much fucking worse said to you. Like,
and it's local footy as well, so like every fucking slur under the sun is being like thrown around, and which they're trying to work on.
I'm not condoning it either, right? Like, I don't condone any of the bullshit at all in footy. I mean, if me on a footy field, when I played footy, I was a bit yappy, man. I loved a bit of the biff and loved, you know, a bit of jumper punching and talking some shit, but you always shake the hand at the end of the game and just get on with it, man. Like, there's no hate in it. There's no fucking beef in it. It's just in the spirit of the game, and everyone's competitive and we're all boys with a lot of testosterone, so we're all just fucking ready to fucking go at each other. But I guess it's just, why is Harry Petty so surprised? You're a professional footballer, mate. I understand it, so much has like happened in your personal life, but you're not the only one in the AFL, mate. Everyone's got a story in the AFL, and I'm sure so much of it has been brought up on field, but people just don't fucking cry about it. They don't like, they don't turn it into a bigger issue. So it's just, I don't know, man. I wish that people would just fucking, just keep themselves out of, just don't get yourself involved in all this football drama. These are this is between the players, and I know you want to feel like a hero, but Petty doesn't give a fuck that you're sticking up for him, and Answorth sure as hell doesn't give a fuck about your opinion on him. Like, it's just, it's stupid, man. It's really stupid stuff, and, you know, like, I don't wish to see it happen again to Petty, but at the same time, it's like, fuck, you just bring it on yourself at this point. And I mean, this is something that's going to follow Harry Petty for a long time, especially as he continues to play the Brisbane Lions. I don't think this will be the last time we see one of our players do this. Honestly, I can see this being a very ongoing, long-term sort of problem that we're going to have with Harrison Petty and the Melbourne Demons. And hey, man, that's fine by me. I love a bit of footy rivalry. I love a bit of just beef. Love a bit of the beef, man. I love it. So, fuck. That's all the time I'll give to that one. Something a bit more exciting, though, a bit more positive, is our favorite Irishman, Conor McKenna, maybe back this week. Massive in for me, but I think he needs like another week or two. Where are you sitting with this one? How excited are you to see the Irishman back in action? Where are you at with Conor McKenna potentially coming back this weekend?
He's a huge part of the footy team. That's without a doubt. Goes without saying. But like, here's the thing: like, he came back against Fremantle and then like pretty much immediately got injured again. So like, I don't think it's like it's not urgent, because like everybody in the back line is playing so good.
Yeah,
I don't think it's particularly urgent to bring him back this early. Maybe if Charlie Cameron gets suspended, because like he can kick a few goals.
Yeah, imagine Conor McKenna down in the forward pocket, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Charlie goes out, maybe that's a way to like get him back in the game and get him back to like match fitness. Maybe chuck him in there just as like a trial like that. And if he goes well, that's another thing we have up our sleeve come September. Like, we can move some magnets around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
But yeah, like, only if he's like good to go. Like,
yeah,
I think given the fact that he pretty much re-injured himself like immediately after coming back on against Fremantle, I think it's a case of like, you need to make sure he's like match fit and ready to go before you like throw him back in there.
100%, man. It's the exact same concern I have, and why I sort of hope we can let him rest for another week or two, just sort of, you know, get him full training and everything, of course, but just don't put him into a game just yet, because he got hurt pretty quickly against Fremantle after just coming back. And man, it's a hamstring as well, dude. So hamstrings are very, it's a sensitive part of the body, man. Like, those can be very finicky. So I hope they can make sort of the right decision here. If they feel like he's up for it, then I hope that it's just like, it's a decision they're making under the base that they are 200% sure that he's going to make it through this game A-OK, because Conor McKenna is so important to this team and this club. And just, dude, like, when we picked up Conor McKenna last year, among them, all of the recruits we got, you know, Will Ashcroft, Josh Dunkley, Jack Gunston, like, and then you get Conor McKenna, Conor McKenna, like, whatever. Dude, he was totally, like, probably the most important pickup next to Josh Dunkley last year. You know, I mean, Will Ashcroft is great.
He did so well last year.
Yeah, and keeping in mind as well, he was out of the game for, like, what, 2 or 3 years due to going back to Ireland? Like, you know, he was out for a while and he came back and just picked it up like it was nothing. Like, I just, he's so important to our team and is probably the most important pickup outside of Josh Dunkley last year, man. No, it's just, let's keep him bubble wrapped if we can, just for the time being, because, you know, he's a man that must be there come September, and there's no point, you know, having him deal with all these injuries now and potentially lead to something really bad, you know, down the track. So let's just, I'd rather play it safe personally here on this one, and, you know, just let him come back when he's ready and when he's absolutely able to. Hell, if that's this weekend, then bring it on, man. Be absolutely awesome to see him back out there. Now, something else I've kind of got on here that was a bit of a fallout from this game as well was Hugh McCluggage and Jared Berry are currently being circled by rivals. So, shit, dude. Jared Berry and Hugh McCluggage, of course, two players that we drafted, I think, back in 2017 or 2016 or something around that time period, and have been basically mainstays of the club ever since then. I don't recall them really playing much of EFL. They just walked straight into the senior side as early as I can remember and have sort of stuck around ever since. These are guys that we've watched grown, and to face the possibility that they may both leave at the end of the season is pretty sad, man. It's pretty emotional. So, Of course, we've got Hawthorn, St Kilda, and another Victorian club. I believe it was they had it in this article I'm reading. No, it's just St Kilda and Hawthorn. I swear there was a third club in there, but yeah, they've got St Kilda and Hawthorn, who've also apparently, according to John Ralph, got money to burn and are looking to offer clubs up to $1.3 million a year, which is fucking very well deserved money for him, man. Do you think either of these boys leave the club at the end of the season? How do you think this one sort of goes? Where are you feeling on this one?
It's within the realm of possibility that they leave. Like if we win a flag this year, I think they probably head off because like their job's done.
Fair enough at that point too, man.
Whatever happens, happens at that point.
Yeah.
If we get close, hopefully they stay. Hopefully like the prospect of winning a flag is enough to keep them around because like, let's be real, fucking St Kilda and Hawthorn aren't exactly knocking on the premiership window.
No, they're not.
But yeah, like if... That being said, like if they do leave, it's not ideal, but like it's not the end of the world because like look at how we talked before about how stacked the midfield is and like how we've still got guys like Levi Ashcroft and Will Ashcroft coming in to the side who are both walk-ons, like, and guys like Kyle Oman as well to a certain extent. And if Cam Rayner's able to pick up where guys like McCluggage have left off, that'd be huge for us, I think. So like even if they do leave, I don't think it won't be the end of the world, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that one. I mean, if I'm going to pick one, it's obviously, you know, McCluggage. But both of them seem and have like said that they're both very happy at the club right now. I think Clug's probably going to be, dragging this out a little bit just out of sheer curiosity to see how much money he would actually get at another club. I can see both of them signing on, but I think, as you said, if we win a premiership this year, I think that it's see you later, Berry and McCluggage. And to be honest, I wouldn't be upset with that, man. Like, yeah, it would be emotional. You know, we've watched these guys grow up to be absolutely amazing footballers. But it's just one of those things where it's like their job is done and maybe we need to start looking to the future as well. At the point of us winning a flag, I would be absolutely wrapped with them being able to finish on that note. I'm sure they would be too. But of course, if we don't win it and we come so close again, I don't see the reason why they won't run it back. But at the same time, you know, Clug has come out and said over the past couple of weeks that he loves it up in Brisbane. He's made his life up here. He's made his family or potential family, you know, all the boys and all that sort of stuff. You know, he's just been able to sort of turn Brisbane into home. And I think if it's up to him and he had a gun to his head, I think he'd stay. But I think if he's got enough money asking him to go elsewhere, I think he'd do it. And that's completely fair enough, man. He's become one of the premium midfielders of the competition. And you'd love to see it for a guy like Hugh McCluggage, man. He's actually amazing. Great bloke too. Even better footballer. So love to see it. But the fact McCluggage is going to be $1 million man is just, it's crazy. We're going to have to probably cough up a fair bit of money to keep him around. But you know what? I'm not against it, depending on how this season goes. So we'll see how all that pans out towards the end of the season. I'm sure we'll get news on that probably at the end of finals or something like that. Hopefully sooner rather than later personally. But yeah, we'll see how that one goes. I think that one's going to be very much based on how we go this season in terms of performance and if a flag is to be. Now, last week or no, it was 2 weeks ago on our Instagram, I touched a lot on Fairweather fans who... We've dealt with a lot of those as Brisbane Lions supporters. And of course, our club being based in Queensland, there's probably a lot of fans out there who are considering going back to watching the NRL exclusively after that game because our season was apparently off, according to them. Now, I do want to sort of touch on this. I know we touched on a little bit earlier in the show, but I think now would be the time to sort of really get stuck into this one. Is our season back on track for real this time? That's my big question to you, man. Is our season back? Are we back?
We're close. We're pretty much close, if not there, I think. I have a lot more confidence for the rest of the year after this game against Melbourne because like this was the type of game where like all the variables are against us. Like we're playing a good team at a ground we're notorious at for our form. A bunch of people are out with injury. Lockie Neal's under an injury cloud. We're versing a team who's been absolutely flawless throughout the rest of the season, and we ended up belting them by almost 50 points, and then a few junk time goals cut it down to 20 points, but we held them to 3-7 at free quarter time. Like, that's fucked.
Yeah. It's insane.
So, yeah, it's like the fact that we're, like, if we can do that, we can beat anything and anyone, I think.
I said last week, man, our best beats anyone, and that was our best out there. And even then, it was probably some room somewhere for improvement. You know, like our best truly beats anyone. And before this game against Melbourne happened, I was very much feeling like we're about to look at a 1-6 start to the season. You know, we had obviously Melbourne, which I tipped against us, to be honest with you, and then obviously we would have Geelong the week after, and once we're fucking 1-4 by that point against Geelong, you'd almost say Geelong is about a lock to actually probably beat us in that game, even though it is at the Gabba. And then you'd have GWS, so we'd be staring down the barrel at 1-6. I'm changing my tune a little bit now, man. I think we can be 3-3 after this week. I think we can be the ones to give GWS their first loss. I love GWS and I love their brand of footy that they're playing this year, but I'm also not exactly convinced. I've seen them play a lot of the same undisciplined footy that Gold Coast and Fremantle seem to also play. We're not fucking perfect either, and we are so guilty of this. Obviously, look at opening round. But it's just like the undisciplined footy of just these big comebacks. You know, we saw St Kilda come back from nearly 40 points down in just the last quarter to lose by a point. It's not the first time I've seen GWS do that this season and just let the opposition back in so easily and so quickly. So I truly think we're in for a chance here. We could, at the end of this really tough run that we've apparently got ahead of us, we're one down against Melbourne. I'm confident against Geelong, so that'll be 2-0 in our tough run. 3-0 with GWS. And then we play the Suns, which I think we should be able to take care of the Suns. This is what happens when we have a really good fucking game on Thursday night and, you know, all my predictions just change like that after one game. It's just the way footy is, man. But look, I think at the end of this run here, I think we should be able to get the Cats. I think we should be able to get GWS. I think that's going to be the toughest games of this three-game stretch. And, of course, the Suns. And then we've got Adelaide waiting for us at Adelaide Oval after that. So we're going to potentially be looking at that would be 3-3 after the Cats, 4-3 after GWS, 5-3 after the Suns. I mean, that's a start that we didn't envision after the first two or three games of the season, where it was looking really dire, really dire. But here we are taking it to you know, teams like Melbourne on the G. That sort of gives not just us as supporters confidence, but it gives the team as a whole confidence that I think that's going to be very valuable confidence going into this Geelong game at the Gabba on Saturday night. Yeah, it's just. Yeah, a lot of things to just be really happy about and really optimistic about. And on the topic of the Fairweather fans, I mean, this is why. Like, this is exactly why I was sort of just like, we're going to be straight. Like, there's no reason to fucking throw everything, you know, out the window and burn it all. Like, this is all just part of the season. Like, let it play out. If we were still like this come round eight, okay, I'd probably say we're fucked. But, you know, it's only, we're going into round six. We look like we're going to be in form. There's a pulse there. So let's hope they can continue it on against Geelong and GWS in particular, because these next two games are going to be very testing, very stressful. And fuck.
Well, here's the thing about GWS and Geelong. I'm looking for the teams right now. The Geelong are 5-0, GWS are 5-0. In that they've GWS have beaten Collingwood, they have beaten North Melbourne, they've beaten West Coast, they've beaten. They've beaten Gold Coast and St Kilda. It's like, that's Collingwood stick out to me as the only really quality team. Maybe St Kilda to a certain extent, but like one or two teams that are like really like going to have a good year. And similar to Geelong, they just got done dismantling North Melbourne by 75 points. The week before that, they barely beat the Bulldogs by 4 points, and the Bulldogs aren't traveling that well. They one against Hawthorn, which they absolutely should have. They got the job done against Adelaide, when they were really out of form, and they beat St Kilda by 8 points. So again, like, I think they're both due for a loss, and I think that'll be us, I think, for sure, because that, even not to take anything away from them, like 5-0 is pretty good, but like, who they've beaten isn't 100% convincing to me just yet. This could very well backfire on me. Like, they could beat both of us convincingly, but like, yeah. I think given who we've had to face and given who they've had to face, it's a completely different comparison. For example, Carlton, who made the prelim last year, then we had Fremantle at Optus, and then we had Collingwood, the reigning premiers, who are zipping free, hungry for their first win. And then we had fucking Melbourne at the MCG. Like, North Melbourne was the only real shoe-in game. And, like, you could make the argument that both Geelong and GWS have had multiple shoe-in games. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I didn't even think about that with GWS. So the fact they're playing undisciplined footy against some of these teams, that's a massive red flag, dude. And maybe the big sound isn't as big as we thought it could be. But we'll see how they pan out, because they've got Carlton this week coming up as well. And funny enough, GWS are actually the ones with the lower, the higher odds, sorry, at $2.04, with Carlton at $1.81. Gamble responsibly. I just find it to be quite the interesting. It's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks for the Giants, man. I didn't even realize that about them. So that puts even more encouragement in me. But of course, we've got to get through Geelong first, because if we can get a pretty big statement win on Geelong at home, fuck, you'd be nervous.
We can beat Geelong. It's at the Gabba. We're in incredible form right now. McKenna's potentially coming back.
Yeah.
If the tribunal goes away, we hope it does, we get Charlie Cameron back. And yeah, like, the odds are definitely in our favor, I think.
Lots of reasons to be excited for this weekend's game, which we will move on to now and just quickly preview the Cats game before we get on up out of here, because this is going to be a really big game, super exciting game too, man. Like, it's going to be probably our first real sort of heat check to sort of see where we're at in terms of form. If we can continue on from last week, which I have zero doubts that we should be able to, man. I think after last week, I think I've said this multiple times already on the show, but just the confidence a win like that gives you it's insane, man. Truly insane. It sort of gives these boys the belief again. And you add that in with the North Melbourne win from the week prior. There's no reason why we don't win this game. You know, if we play our best footy and just play our Lions footy, man, like, that's, I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy beat, but fuck, there's no reason why we don't get it done, man. Of course, with the betting odds as well, like, and again, gamble responsibly. We're paying $1.47 for this one to Geelong's $2.71. Now, I don't like to look too deep into sports bet odds. I just find them kind of interesting, and I sort of like using them as a gauge for just my curiosity on how a match may play out. And, yeah, you wouldn't think that the club that's sitting 10th on the ladder would be paying $1.47 to beat the team that's sitting pretty in second at $2.71. So it's, that's super encouraging stuff, man. And I think it's going to be an interesting game for sure. It's going to be a very interesting game for the boys down in the back line, particularly Harris Andrews and Jack Payne, who are going to obviously have the task of the Geelong forward line. Ryan Lester as well, as of course, sort of picking him to have a big day out, and this is where Connor McKenna becomes very important as well, because Geelong's forward line is pretty scary stuff. Obviously, you've got Jezza and Tom Hawkins, who are two of my favorite players, you know, in the whole comp. Like, they're not my two favorites of all time, of course, but they're just two players I really, really love watching playing, and I have a lot of respect for, being those two there, and I wish they were in our forward line, but of course, I'm happy with Joe as well. But going to be a massive game for the boys down back. How do you see this one sort of panning out in the back line, and more so even with our forwards? Because we know that Geelong can play a pretty really fast game of footy. You know, their style seems to be sort of down the corridor and sort of just straight, like, pretty much off turnovers, and they play the turnover game really well. So it interests me to sort of see the workload that the backmen are going to have this Saturday night. So how do you see this one sort of panning out?
I think we're very capable of locking down Geelong's forward line. I think our forward line is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Our forward line is very, it's hard to like lock them down. Like, we can still put like a decent amount of score. Like, I don't think our lowest score for the entire year, let me just double check. It was 80 points last week, 82 points. And then after that, it was 112 against North. And then it was 72. And then, pardon me, our lowest score for the entire season has been 70 points against Fremantle. So, like, we're a very high-scoring team. And I think if we can lock down Geelong's forward line, which I'm a big fan of Jezza and Tom Hawkins as well, but like, I feel watching them in the last couple of weeks, especially against maybe the Hawthorn game, it seems like maybe the passage of time might be creeping up on them. And I think with a more experienced backline, we should be able to take care of them. It's especially with guys like Harris Andrews and Jack Payne running around. Payne, I think, is starting to get his form back.
Oh, Payne was immaculate Thursday night, yeah.
Yeah, chucking guys like Froggy Lester as well. I think, yeah, we should do just fine, I think. We should do anyway. I don't know if we will, but obviously,
yeah. It's hard to say, man. Like, watch us be all confident today, right? And then, like, you know, the past few weeks we've been pretty, you know, pessimistic to a degree on how these games will go outside of the North game. I mean, we've just sort of been like, fuck, like, nervous, hard to say, blah, blah, blah. This is the first week I feel like we've genuinely been confident to play a very good team. And watch us with all this confidence and fucking all this. We end up getting smacked by like 90 points, but touch wood, that doesn't happen. I just want to see us, you know, just if we show up to play this Saturday night, like, you don't lock the game in the bag with a win, but you're fucking close to it, man. It all comes
down to... Another thing as well that works in our favor, we haven't conceded 100 points this entire season yet. Our highest points that we've conceded is 92, and I believe that was against Collingwood. So, again, like, we are a very capable forward back line, even when we're not in form. Like, I don't think we were against Collingwood, and we still only conceded 92 points. So I think we're definitely, yeah, we have everything in our position to succeed, I think.
Absolutely. And just adding on to that as well with some more stats here, the points that Geelong average are 102, right? And the average against is 74. Our average against is 74 as well, 74.6 to be precise. That's the only difference between us in terms of the points we get scored against us. So I think for Geelong, for them to win, they're going to have to easily score over 100 points. And I don't think our backline is going to allow that to happen because we only average the opposition scoring 74 points a game on us. This is going to be a game that's sort of won in the forward line, obviously, because every game is fucking won in the forward line because that's where the goals are kicked. But truly, I think this is going to be a battle of the forward lines. I mean, our midfield should be able to take care of theirs, not with ease, but definitely, you know, with a big, relatively big statement. It's just going to come down to how the forwards want to perform this Saturday night, because if they perform like Eric and Joe do, it is basically the same thing they did on Thursday night, just crash packs, jump for marks, just don't be fucking scared of the ball. We should be in good hands. You know, I really trusted those two on Thursday night, which was very, very welcoming. I've been trusting Joe for a while, but not the both of them, you know, so having both of them, being able to trust them both and, you know, feeling good with having the ball in both of their hands for a change was fucking awesome, man. So we just need more of that from them and there'll be no problems. So do you have anything else on this one before we head on out?
I think that's it, man. I think like we're very, like, I'm a lot more confident about this game now than I was pre-Melbourne. I think after what we did against Melbourne, if we can do that at the MCG, we can do that to anybody at the Gabba.
Oh, fucking absolutely, dude. Like, as I said last week, our best beats anyone, and I stand by that. That's sort of the motto of this season. Like, sure, we may not play the best every week in, week out, but our best beats fucking anyone. And I don't think there's a team that comes close to our best when we're at our best. I think sort of we've got the best list in the comp, dude, and that's been proven. We just need to actually have them play like the best list in the comp, and there should be no problems. So, yeah, massive, massive weekend this weekend. I think we'll end up beating Geelong probably by about 3 goals or so. I think it's not going to be an easy one by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to be a bit of a grind, absolute grind. So don't take our words like we're going to fucking run all over Geelong, because hell no, I would love for that to happen, but it's not going to happen, unfortunately. Geelong are too polished and too good of a team, and I think they're going to give us a real good shake, just like they did last year. Just hopefully this time we don't have another fucking ACL injury. So hey man, let's get it on Saturday night. You'll be at the game, I'm sure.
Yes sir, yeah,
of course.
I'm going.
Yep, awesome, man. Fucking jealous as usual. But of course, guys, that is all for us this week here on The Main Event. Give us a follow at Main Event Pod on our socials. Go onto our Spotify and leave us a review, or give us feedback and I'll read it out on the show. Of course, go follow or subscribe to Egg Footy on YouTube. Come follow me on Instagram for my fucking yaps and shit that no one cares about. It's a lot of fun, dude. Till then, we'll see you all next week when we review the Geelong game, hopefully with a win. Of course, good luck to all of you Lions fans, whether you're at the ground or you're at home watching on TV. We'll see you then.